Welcome to The Net Effect, Career Conversations and Connections. Each episode is devoted to bringing interesting guests who offer insights and perspectives on casting one's net on the right side, as Jesus challenged his apostles to do on the Sea of Galilee. Today's episode's really special. Many people all over the world are feeling some of the same things that Jesus' disciples did when they exclaimed in Luke 5, "Master, we've worked all night and we haven't caught a thing." And he responded to his disciples. He said, "Hey, have you cast your net on the right side, in the right manner, in the right place?" Well, you're in the right place today. We have two wonderful folks that are here who have ideas and suggestions and inspirational stories to share that will help you work in the manner that the Master Christian instructed his disciples to do. I would like to welcome Beth and Gabriel to our Net Effect today. Welcome, you two.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
I thought we'd start with Beth. She is the director of human resources at Principia College, and she started her career in human resources as a student employee doing student payroll. So, Beth, what was it about human resources, and how did you get started down this career path?
I was fortunate in my student experience to get the position that I did, managing the student payroll. As I got through high school and into college, I thought perhaps I would go into accounting, and that's why the payroll position was appealing to me. I loved that position, actually, but it was embedded within the HR, student employment, job placement function and office. And I quickly realized I didn't want to be stuck calculating numbers and punching time cards all day, every day. So I was exposed to the other aspects of hiring and human resources, and realized that actually HR was a really nice combination and balance of having some work with detail and numbers, but also having that people component and getting to serve people and work with people.
Well, that's really, really neat. Gabriel is the human resources intern at Principia College. He's an international student from Brazil. I'm wondering, Gabriel, how did you get to Prin, and tell us a little bit about your background and what started you down the track in human resources?
To start off, how I got to Prin was that back when I was a teenager, I have an uncle that lives in St. Louis, Missouri. And so I came here to visit him for a month. And while I was here, I got to play soccer with a friend of his. And that friend of his knew the former coach from Principia. Mm-hmm. Which I got in touch with, that put me in touch with the current coach at the college. That's how I got in touch with Principia, Christian Science, and that's how I started learning.
Were you a Christian Scientist? Did you grow up in Christian Science?
No, I did not grow up in Christian Science. That was my first contact with Christian Science. So when I went back to Brazil when I was 16, that's when I started going to Sunday school online and started learning about Christian Science and about Principia and all of that.
Well, that's an interesting story. So did you land in human resources by design, or how did you get into that track?
When I first got to college, all the jobs I had was mainly to make money and pay for school. One of my best friends was like, "Hey, Gabe, you should try to work here. I think that would be good for you." And so that's when I got my first job in HR. And I started just as a regular student worker, just doing administrative and assistant position, doing filing projects and answering emails, answering the phone for supervisors and being in touch with students. That's how everything started. And then after a year, I saw the opportunity of staying there and becoming the next intern. And so that's when I applied for it and I did the interview process. And since I've been there for a while already, more than most of the other people that were at the time, I got the position and I've been there for the past year and a half now as a student intern.
How do you have success today and the place that we're in right now. I'm going to flip it back to you, Beth, as it relates to, if I'm a job seeker, what are some of the things I should be thinking about?
In my position, everybody comes through the application process with fairly specific skill sets, backgrounds. Of course, we're looking for a match with regard to those skill sets. But usually what stands out more and takes the candidate to the next level are the qualities that you pick up on. As I reflect on those qualities of what I feel helped me through the various successes over the years, it's sort of what I pick up on from others as well. The list could go on and on, but in terms of narrowing it down to trying to get that job, find a job, or find your love of a career, whatever that is, are these three, just a general willingness to take action, to seek out networks, folks, jobs, job openings, whatever that, just to be willing, and then openness. We all sort of get stuck in our heads what we think we want or what we have to have in order to get from point A to point B. I've always found that just being open to whatever ideas present themselves naturally after being willing to hear or listen or explore whatever it comes, it just sort of opens things up. The next one is just this adaptability and being able to adapt to the situation, have an awareness of my audience and awareness even of myself, or the fact that maybe this won't be forever, but this is that first step in the right direction. All of those three qualities I find to get me through every phase of project work, applying for a job, whatever it is. And so it's this state of thought that I've found is really helpful.
I always ask our guests about networking and the things that they should be doing. Today, it seems that particularly students are kind of in a neutral position or even a backup position as it relates to thinking about getting a job or what should they be doing. I also find there's an awful lot of folks out there that are job seekers that aren't really sure where to go or how to do it or even how to start making contacts with people. So what are your thoughts about that, Beth?
I'm speaking to a broad audience here. So the first thing I would say is to seek out whatever connections there may be. So if you have connections at church, if you're in school still and you have professors with connections at other colleges or universities or in certain career fields, to reach out to all of those people that you're aware of and take advantage of those opportunities. That's the first thing I learned in going to college was the exposure and the opportunities. And I could have just easily sat back, gone to classes, gone back to my dorm room, but I tried to take advantage of all those opportunities. The sky's the limit in terms of how far and how deep you decide to dig to make new connections. You can always make connections, but you do have to be proactive and take advantage of the opportunities that come up.
How about you, Gabriel? How have you found networking? Is it something you like? Is it something you've had success with? And if you've had success, what are the things that you've done to be successful?
I believe it's needed, and I wish personally I should have started earlier in college. I started a little late. I see how good and helpful it is to have it because I started probably last fall on my last year of college. Mm-hmm. But if I had started probably 2-3 years ago, I would have a bigger network right now. However, as Beth was saying, you just pretty much reach out to people because you never know who those people are going to know. I've been personally for the past few months, I've been meeting a lot of great people and having a lot of informational interviews. And that has been very helpful for me going into my next step now after I graduate in May.
I have a question, Beth, and it relates to navigating the hiring process. If I'm a job seeker, Should I have a plan? Should I know what jobs I'm trying to find? How do I go about doing something like that?
Yes, absolutely. You should have a plan. There are some things that have changed through this last year and the pandemic and the way business is conducted, but there are things that also have not changed. And so the plan should start all the way at the beginning from networking and making as many connections as you can to figuring out what those opportunities are, performing your job searches, going and looking for the jobs that you want. But once you're there and you're ready to start applying, I like to sort of think of the job search similarly to how you might invest your retirement portfolio. You always hear to diversify your portfolio. So I say, diversify your approach. It's not a one and done, apply electronically, walk away and wait to hear. Apply electronically, make a personal connection, use your cover letter to express what you need to get across, and follow up, plan for what kind of follow-up communication you'll have. And again, the most important thing is to keep those connections going if you can. Finding different touch points is really helpful.
So when you say new technologies, what are some of the new technologies that are happening as a result of COVID?
A lot of interviewing. So the application processes pre-COVID had pretty much already moved digitally. Even if you want to go to a retail big box store and apply, it's all on a computer. It's the interviewing process that has shifted. So depending on the field and the work that you're applying for, here at Principia College, our interviews have been almost 100% remote. So being prepared to have the technology you need in front of you, a laptop or a working iPad, whatever it might be, knowing whatever the platform is that you're interviewing through, if we're on Zoom right now, and testing it out, just being prepared is really important for going remote.
Is it okay to have my dog in my lap or my cat walking across my desk as I'm talking to you?
That's a really good question. A lot of articles and just different conversations I've heard taking place as well. Folks are trying to have compassion for that work at home experience where there are maybe children playing or crying in the background or dogs walking across. If you're going to interview for a position, I think that everyone should be prepared as if they were in person. So if you can eliminate any distraction, have a simple background, be prepared just as if you're in person.
If I'm doing that, are there a couple of things I should really think about if I'm Zooming and I'm doing an interview with a team, or is it one person? Do you think that can be effective for the person on the other end? Can they get comfortable enough? How do you do that?
I'm typically on the other end interviewing the candidates. And so I have my strategies to try to work with the candidates and get them to feel relaxed and comfortable. There's sort of a relatedness that you try to find in someone to make them feel comfortable. You try to relate in certain ways. And I think the same thing would apply if you're interviewing for the position. Sit back and listen, having that sort of awareness and adaptability, but try to find a way to relate and show interest in the interviewing and conversation that you might be having, again, as if you were in person versus behind the screen on the other side.
Gabriel, I'm sure you've had some interviewing opportunities. You've kind of been on the other side of the fence. What's the process been like for you?
It's been interesting. I've had a few interviews in the past few months, and I've used a few tips from some of the people that I talked to for the past few months. Yep. One of them that I enjoyed a lot was to, when you're talking to a certain company, you always want to know the values and the mission of the company. Then you can make a connection about what your experience, what does that connect with the mission and the values that the company have. And that's very helpful because it will show that you actually did your homework and know about the company and that you're qualified for it.
Good. Have you found it really weird or strange or difficult?
I'll say difficult. It's just, for me, it's a little awkward. I prefer that would be in person, but at the same time, I've adapted to it. So by now I'm used to it. But at the beginning, it was definitely a little awkward, especially those interviews that are the ones that you record yourself. You're not actually Zooming with someone.
I've seen those. That's got to be a weird experience, right?
It's weird because you have to find a way of focus on the camera and not look anywhere else. That's a little difficult when you have nobody there but just yourself.
Resumes are always evolving. And so when you're going through that application process, we'd love to hear your perspective, Beth, on what does it comprise a good resume?
It needs to be readable, short, simple, and honest. When you're writing your resume or updating your resume and submitting it for a particular position, you want to keep in mind, what is it that they want to see right away? So how you order your resume, how you format your resume, all of those different components are what are going to make those pieces stand out. But it needs to be quickly readable and stand out. The other thing I would say is make sure your resume is up to date and that you regularly update it. Honestly, my recommendation for everyone is to have a professional look at your resume before you submit it. There are lots of templates out there you can just go grab and fill in. But professionals who do that for a living basically sort of know what's going to help your resume to stand out, but then they're also going to make sure that there aren't typos and pieces that maybe aren't as professional as they could be. And that makes a really big difference when the resume is done.
I was studying my Bible lesson this morning, and the story that stood out to me is related to our conversation today, is when Elisha asks a certain woman in 2 Kings, he said, "What do you have in the house?" And she said to him, "Well, I got nothing. All I have are a bunch of empty vessels." And I think sometimes that's the feeling when people are looking at different job opportunities and they look at something and they see a job that they think they might be able to qualify for, but yet the work that they did that might apply to that job was 10 years ago or 15 years ago. The question came to me, how do they, if they find that job, and they think they have the qualifications for that, but it was a long time ago. Mm-hmm. I mean, what's the best way to present those qualifications in that situation?
There's a couple of different ways. One is you're traditionally taught on the resume to put your experience by years and in what mm-hmm. order that way. But you can also put it in order in terms of how it relates to the work that you're applying for. Another way that would be useful is if you're submitting a cover letter for a particular position and to be able to elaborate on that experience that you had 10 years ago and find a way to show how you've progressed in that way, even though you've maybe moved into different work, but how that was a launching pad to something else or how that skill set continued to evolve in different ways. So that cover letter is another key point to bring the attention to that work you previously may have done.
How do I write a cover letter that stands out? What are you looking for that's different than a resume? How do you use a cover letter as you're trying to apply for a job? What's the meaning of it, and how do I make it effective?
Yeah. Sometimes I'll get really readable resumes, and there may be some obvious pieces where their skill set or their education matches what we're needing, but I can't really figure out from the resume why they're interested in the position and what makes them unique and what they would bring to the position. So that cover letter sort of answers the why. Why are you interested? Why are you the best fit? What qualities do you bring? Why your particular combination of job experience would benefit maybe this position that has nothing to do, frankly, with what you've done previously? Sometimes you can tie it all together and make someone see, oh, that experience actually really is relevant to this work here. And that's why. This is why.
How long should the cover letter be?
It really shouldn't be more than a page.
Have someone take a look at it, read over it, make sure that yes. You're getting the message, the ideas that you want out of it, right?
Yes. And oftentimes you can sort of get a sense of someone's qualities or personality through that letter in terms of how it's written. So I think writing with a sense of honesty and genuineness is also important.
We talked about the application process and specific skill set to kind of get through phase one. What do you mean by that?
When you fill out an application, you should always submit the resume. I mean, we do get applications more than I'd like to say without a resume and even without a cover letter. An absolute must is making sure you include the resume, because if you just submit an application, it really doesn't tell the hiring or recruiter person who you are, what you have to offer. You're checking boxes and moving through. But if you take the time to include the resume and include a cover letter, that's sort of your first phase. That's your first step in. And then you have to have a plan for how you're going to get through to that next phase. Those first impressions are what are important to the process. And then you have a plan for continuing through.
Let's talk about the interviewing. And when you talk about answering questions succinctly, what do you mean by that?
You want to be clear and honest. So when you're answering questions succinctly, it needs to be obvious. If it's a resume and you're listing out the work that you performed on a particular position, sometimes the language and terminology that's used, or if it's too long, I get resumes and I think, I have no idea what this person did or is doing.
Right.
Right. So how do you make it clear and simple to understand what they've done and how it relates to what they would like to do or apply for?
If I'm sitting in Gabriel's position and he's looking for a job and you get to the interview portion where I'm supposed to ask some questions, what kind of questions should I be asking?
Questions that show that you're honest is actually helpful. So if you don't fully understand maybe what the job entails or certain components of the job description, it doesn't concern me that you don't. In fact, it makes me happy to see that someone's asking a question because I can see that they're interested and honest and want to get a good read on what they're applying for or what they're in for in terms of the position.
That's really helpful. So Gabe, as you're sitting here listening to Beth, your boss, describe all these things, what are some of the thoughts that you have as you think about the interviewing process and some of the applications that you've had to fill out? What are your thoughts?
That last part of asking the question, one thing that I always ask is about the culture of the team that I'll be working with. How's the people? How's the day-to-day works? And different things about the company.
What are the kinds of things you should be doing as a student? I mean, you're a senior. You're kind of on the very end of your experience at a college or university, and you came up with some ideas and some thoughts about what you'd tell others if you were starting again and kind of start from the beginning, or you're having a conversation with a new freshman. So tell me a little bit about some of the things that we've listed here on this slide.
So yeah, the first thing I would say tell a freshman would be to get a job somewhere so you can learn some helpful skills. I think when we talked before, I talked about how it doesn't matter where you work, you're always going to learn a small thing, a small skill that will be helpful for the rest of your life.
Mm-hmm.
When I got to Prent, I worked every position that you could think of. I did the kitchen, I did lifeguard, I worked in the college store as a cashier, I worked at the pub, I did all these different jobs. Of course, I didn't love all of them. Some of them I hated, but I was just doing just to do it. But those skills, the time management of being able to work so many hours in a week and manage school and sports as well.
Yeah, because you're an athlete as well, right?
Yes, I've done soccer for the past 4 years and I'm doing track and field this semester. So yeah, it's like just being able to manage your time, because school is not like the easiest thing. And if you're working on top of it, it makes it a little harder. But if you're able to handle that, once you get out there after you graduate, working full day would be much easier than if you never worked and went to school at the same time. It also depends on the jobs that you get. For me, I got a job in the HR office, so that has helped me with my professional skills. And so after a few years of working all these different positions, I would suggest for you to try to get a job in an office or a career that you could see yourself in, so you can have that professional skills throughout those last few years of college. And on top of that, of course, if you're able to get internships over the summer or over winter break, that's something that's very helpful for you as a student, because you're going to be able to connect with people and learn professional skills that you don't learn while like you're in classes.
Anything you'd like to add to that, Beth?
Actually, I was just thinking, I was hesitating, should I interrupt and jump in, because everything Gabriel is saying is true, but he's learning on the job. It's part of his learning experience. And so in terms of prioritizing your time, not just time management, but prioritizing your time, all of that willingness and openness that he's expressed for taking on whatever the job was in front of him, maybe he didn't love it, maybe he's ended up loving it, down the road, there'll be something in what he's learned that will relate to a career or a position for him that he does become interested in. Maybe he didn't love working, let's say, in the kitchen, but maybe there were some significant time demand, time management skills that he learned by being in there that would apply to a different field. So he's got that under his belt. He's learning and got the experiences that could come in handy down the road.
And those are things that a student, or even if you're out there and you're working and you may be in a job that, like you said, you don't really like, or maybe you don't even value, there's still things there that are positively impacting your career professional track that you can pull from, right?
Absolutely. I've actually been in HR at Principia for quite a long time now, basically most of my adult career, but I started working when I was really young, as soon as I could. I think I started babysitting maybe at 10, something like that. But I always was working and finding jobs. I can think back to all of that experience and how it applies to what I'm doing now, or if I wanted to switch careers. I sold mistletoe on the corner as a kid and learned how to be an entrepreneur and how to sell things. All sorts of experiences, if you're just willing and open, can certainly lend themselves. I wouldn't put that on my resume necessarily.
I wanted to highlight a couple things here. You have a number of job opportunities listed at Principia College, and we'd love to be able to feature those and highlight and find people out there that are qualified candidates. And if you know somebody, let's talk a little bit about how you're filling these current positions. I've got some specific questions that I run across in my role. I talk to a lot of people, and sometimes people are looking for jobs, and I'll say, well, have you thought about this opportunity, or have you thought about education? Have you thought about Principia? I had a conversation with someone recently, and they had this incredible resume, and I knew some of the job postings that you had. How does someone that's out there who has a wonderful treasure trove of experience, but none of it related to education?
Good question. So the one thing I'll point out, if you're looking at the list here, you'll see that it's not just faculty positions, right? So we have campus security officers. I think when people are looking for jobs, and maybe you do know about Principia, you're not necessarily thinking campus security, but there are so many different types of jobs. And you won't see here, for instance, but our business office, we have accountants, we have marketing folks, we have all sorts of other positions. It's not just educators. And then if you look at our faculty list, and what I'll say now is we're preparing to pull our faculty posts, but this will give you an idea, just a sampling of what's out there. And maybe there's a dance professional out in the field, but has never thought about teaching dance in the higher ed environment. There are many faculty that we hire in who haven't perhaps had teaching experience yet. And we provide professional development for that. We have support services. But if you bring a wealth of knowledge and experience from certain fields, it certainly can lend itself to even teaching, actually.
One of the articles I read this morning from the Wall Street Journal was how companies are reimagining the office and the overall work environment. How's Principia addressing that?
We've always had sort of a traditional 9-to-5 office environment, but it's unique and it's a wonderful place to work. It's beautiful. Typically, everyone has an individual office. It's not like going to work for corporate America, downtown, cubicles everywhere, you know. Mm-hmm. So it's a really lovely environment to work in, even just to go walk outside. Those of you who have been here, Robin, I know you've been here. You walk out and you're on the bluffs of the Mississippi River.
Beautiful.
There's lots of opportunity for refreshment and community and engagement even. But as far as the last year with the pandemic, we have shifted to a lot of remote working. But because of our environment and the in-person learning that the students are here for, we're actually doing our best to get back to as much in-person as possible.
Gabriel, how are you finding it? You're an employee and you're working as a student. How have you found the work environment there?
It has definitely changed since the pandemic started. In our office, I think we've been very good with it. Beth and Lauren has allowed me to work remote as a student worker. And that has helped me because I wouldn't be able to stay on campus. And so I'm able to still continue to learn HR and like go to school. It's been definitely different, but good overall.
So as you move forward, how do you see the future in terms of the hiring process, and what's the future of HR like, Beth? Is it going to remain in the same way? Is it a viable and continue to be a viable career track?
I've heard both sides, but I do think it's always going to be viable as long as we have human beings. There are always services and support needed for people and resources needed for people. And in fact, anytime I have a conversation with individuals who are trying to find their career path, maybe they're more interested in sort of an office setting, and maybe they've got some accounting background, I said, have you thought about human resources? Almost every company needs some kind of human resources help. Really small companies can't always afford to have a human resources department, but they certainly have positions with those functions. So I do think it will always be viable, but the way we do our work will always be shifting, particularly with technology. It's very data driven. And yes, so it will always be shifting. You have to be prepared to work with data and technology, but I do think HR will always be around.
So what about higher ed education? How's that going to change? What kind of skills do I need in order to adapt to the future of what education may look like?
That's a big open-ended question. I think that's what all universities and smaller colleges are really actually struggling with and learning through. And this last year has really put it out there on the table to try to answer that question. I think that each university and each college has its own sort of niche that they fulfill. For instance, Principia College has this really wonderful, enriching, residential, on-site, in-person learning environment that I think really makes Principia stand out. So we're grappling with that. But I certainly think there will be some adapting and shifting that takes place. I think many of us don't quite know yet what that will look like.
I really appreciate the honesty and the openness in which you guys have been participating and willing to share these ideas with me and with all of us. Gabriel, what are you looking at? Do you see yourself in an HR role? Do you see yourself moving into something else now that you've kind of gotten your feet really wet?
I've been really liking working with the HR department at Pren. And that's the career that I want to go on after I graduate. And I even applied for grad school, a master's program in HR. Uh-huh. And I've got accepted into a few places. And I'm trying to figure out what's going to be the next big step in my life. But that's the career that I want to go into for sure.
Great. Well, in closing, are there any other thoughts or ideas that Beth, you'd like to share?
It's not always pleasant, or sometimes it can be at least difficult of a prospect to think about having to find a new job. And I hear from plenty of people trying to find the job. It's daunting. There's sometimes fear involved. But again, reflecting back, and actually what you opened with in terms of casting your net on the right side, I think is really the most pertinent state of thought to really get to. And eliminating that fear of supply. And I can look back in my experience, if you can get to that point of certainty that, you know, again, I had some trials within our family in terms of supply when I was very young. Well, I guess as I was starting to work. And that's what I really learned at a very young age, was how God was supplying everything that we needed. And so I was able to sort of eliminate that sense of fear all the way through my adulthood in terms of finding career and jobs and whatnot. So if you can get to that point, you're good.
How about you, Gabe?
I mean, for me as a student, if you're a student, just keep on going, because it's just the start of our lives, of our career. So just don't get discouraged if you hear a no. As an international student, I would say it's a little harder to find a job here. And I've heard a lot of no's before, so... And I'm still happy and still trying and not going to give up that easy.
Your comments have been wonderful today, and everyone is just really pleased with the honesty and the effort that you both have given here today. In closing, we've all talked about networking. Well, the ABF Career Alliance is a wonderful place to meet people like Beth and Gabriel. We offer one-to-one career connections with informational interviews. We post jobs, as we mentioned, all the jobs that Beth talked about earlier. Gabriel's constantly posting jobs to the Career Alliance. We've had 10 or 15 this past week, internships and externships. So go to abfcareeralliance.org and you'll find lots of resources and opportunities for career development. If you're interested in connecting with Beth and Gabriel, I've posted their career connection. And all you got to do is go to abfcareeralliance.org and you'll see our Twitter feed on the right side of each page and click the link and I'll help facilitate that and get you connected with Gabe and Beth. We would love to help you do that. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Like us on LinkedIn. We'll have wonderful, wonderful guests. You guys have been fabulous today. You definitely helped us think about where to cast that net, giving us some really good ideas about how to do that and putting it in the right place. And I just want to thank you so very much for your time and your willingness to share with everyone today.
Thank you, Robin. And I'd really like to thank you and the Albert Baker Fund Career Alliance. We do post all of our jobs there. And I think the work that they're doing out in the field is just really critical and they're doing great work. So thank you.
You're so welcome. If anyone has any questions, you can email me at robin@albertbakerfund.org. I'll get to you just as quick as I can. I promise you I will respond. Thank you both again. Had a terrific time. The next episode, real special, we're going to have Christian Science Camp Counselor staff and alumni. We're going to talk about how their experience at camp has transferred into their professional life. So it's going to be a roundtable, be lots of exciting, fun ideas that we're going to share. Can't wait to see you all next week. Thanks again, guys. Look forward to talking with both of you soon and have a great weekend.